Elissa Walker-Campbell back with you at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Time now in our next segment for some NBA news and notes. We're going to dive in. We're going to talk about the playoffs. The Cavs and the Bulls, game three is underway right now in Chicago. We got the Rockets and the Clippers. They're set for their tip at 10:30 Eastern time tonight. And we are certainly anxious to break down those series. But first, we're going to start off. We're going to head out to the Western Conference and zero in on the Golden State Warriors and the Memphis Grizz. Providing the helping hand tonight from ESPN, of course, is Freddie Coleman, one of the hardest working guys in radio, our go-to guy. Hi, Freddie.
Hi, Alyssa. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Always energized when you're on the show. Our audience loves to hear from you.
Thank you.
And so, of course, what, Saturday night, the Warriors are on the road in Memphis, 8 o'clock tip on ABC. How about the Grizz? I mean, they really did dominate the Warriors in game two, I should say, and it's a compelling series. Do you think this could go six or seven games?
Oh, completely, because I don't think Memphis gets enough credit for how talented of a basketball team that they are, and I think we're among the two of the few people that have actually given the Grizzlies love, because I think people look at them and there's not that one superstar that they can say, okay, I know who that person is. But when you have a Marcus Gasol in your team, a Zach Randolph, a Mike Conley Jr., we saw the effect that he has had on this series. He wasn't there in game one because of the facial fractures he suffered in the series versus the Portland Trail Blazers. They were clearly not the same team. In game two, he thoroughly dominated with a little help from Tony Allen, the backcourt of Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. So I'm not surprised by what I've seen from Memphis, and I think the one thing they've done this year, they've been able to play any kind of style. You want a game in the 80s and 90s, they can win that. You want an up-tempo game, they're not afraid to get involved in that. Even though they'll slow the possessions down, they feel they can make those kind of shots. So I'm not surprised, and I predicted that this series would go to six games. I still think Golden State is going to win it, but nobody should be surprised if Memphis is able to pull this off.
Okay, I'm glad you bring up Mike Conley. Do you think he's underrated, and how does he impact the game?
Well, he's become so underrated, he's overrated. I think that's the case with Mike Conley Jr. now, because for the longest time, when we talk about elite point guards in the NBA, his name never seems to get mentioned, but he always plays at an elite level when the NBA playoffs step up. He's able to make those shots. He's an underrated defender. He really keeps those beat-beats, those road runners in front of him, and not allow those guys to get behind him and into the teeth of their defense. And I think the reason he continues to be underrated, he's not out there trying to show people who he is or thumping his chest saying, look at me. It's like, okay, what does my team need? They need me to be more of a distributor tonight, I'll do that. They need me to be more of a scorer tonight, I can do that. More of a defender tonight, I can do that. He's all about what's best for our basketball team, not what's best for me. And he's just like practically everybody else on that team and everybody else in that organization. So he still is underrated in terms of being an elite point guard. I don't know if he's ever going to get that credit. But in the NBA playoffs, the last 3 to 4 years, we've seen that guy play at an elite level for Memphis.
Well, what's your perception of him in terms of his toughness, his grit? I mean, returns to the lineup after missing, what, the last three games following a facial surgery.
Well, I know people look at the face and see the choir boy and think there's no toughness behind it, but you have to be plenty tough to not only play where he played at in the state of Indiana before going to Ohio State and playing in the Western Conference. So I think if anybody doubts the toughness of Mike Conley Jr., they really have not been paying close attention, because he's been that good for this basketball team. Now, if he averaged 20 points and 10 assists, his name would be more recognized among people outside of the NBA, but that would not be the best thing for the Memphis Grizzlies, and he clearly understands that. But it shows the kind of value that he has, that they ripped up his rookie contract and signed him to a big-time extension, and he's probably going to get more money in another extension, because as great as Marcus Gasol is and Zach Randolph, he's the guy that makes them go, and we saw that. No Mike Conley Jr. in game one, they get blasted by Golden State. Mike Conley's there in game two, they turned the tables on the Golden State Warriors.
Well, Conley certainly did. He had 22 points. And I have to tell you, what I like about the Grizz, I'm an old school girl. I like to bang on the inside, on the block and on the post. I like the big boys. I mean, you've mentioned several times, Gasol and Randolph. It's refreshing to see that style. I mean, so many times we talk about the NBA, the pace and, you know, advancing it up the floor quickly. But I like to see the guys bang on the inside.
And also, you have those two guys that are skilled big men, because they play so well with
each great footwork.
Yeah, and Marcus Gasol can step out and hit that 15-footer. Zach Randolph, he can't jump over a credit card, but he seems to be able to get some scores inside and make you work on the defensive end. So, yeah, they have an old-school style, no question about that, Alyssa, but they have a new-school feel with their big men. Jeff Green is another guy that's a skilled big guy that I think has been terrific for them. He's not worried about scoring. I think he had too much pressure put on him in Boston to do that, and at times in Oklahoma City. He gets to Memphis, they're like, Jeff, just play. whatever you bring us is going to help this basketball team. It seems like he's been a lot freer and more unleashed, and he's really been an underrated component to what they've been able to do in Memphis so far.
Okay, you're listening to the voice of Freddie Coleman. We never want to turn him off. ESPN Radio, and of course, the host of the Freddie Coleman Show tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Now, a guy we definitely got to shine the spotlight on as well is Tony Allen. I mean, you talk about a guy that sets the defensive tone. He really is amazing.
Yeah, one thing about Tony Allen, I think a lot of people look at him and just say he's a defender, and there's no question that's the main reason why he's been able to stay in the NBA. But when they had that situation earlier this year where he and the coach got into it and he got suspended or benched for a couple of games, I can't remember which was which, but he came back from that and said, you know what, I have to be a better person for this team because I don't want to be the guy wrecking things or be told to go away from here. A lot of people would let their ego and their pride get in the way and not push that aside. He completely pushed that aside because he clearly knows what kind of special fabric that's been a part of the Memphis Grizzlies. And why would you want to go away from that? And he's the perfect kind of guy for their basketball team. Not interested in stats, not interested in numbers. But it was really cool when they had him mic'd up. He's saying, first team all defense, first team all defense. It was really cool to see that, to say, you know what? And he backed up his words. Because Alyssa, early in the day, he said, you know, Steph Curry's terrific, but he's not anything special. It's not anything I haven't seen before. That was his way of saying, you know, I played against great shooters in the NBA, and he's one of them. But it's not something that I can't slow down and I can't defend, whether it's him or Klay Thompson. Then he went out there and backed up his words, and the whole team was able to follow his lead. So having that grindhouse effect, that Grizzlies effect, if anybody is the epitome of that, that guy is definitely Tony Allen in Memphis.
Well, and isn't it refreshing, too? I mean, so many times we hear about the offense, but just that bring it on mentality. Let's tighten the screws and let's play some D.
Yeah, and Golden State's the same way. Golden State, I don't think they get enough credit for how good defensively that they are, but they're running into a Memphis team that, you know what, this is where we're going to win. We have to make sure that we can score and be efficient offensively, but even if you score against us, we have to make it as hard for you as possible. Memphis allowed too many easy shots in Game 1. I don't know if they were overwhelmed or the fact that they had so much concern about Mike Conley Jr. not beating there, or maybe it was just Golden State's day, whatever that was. Well, they completely turned that around and made that adjustment. But Golden State is really good at making adjustments, too. And we'll see exactly what Steve Kerr is going to do. He has an underrated staff with Alvin Gentry, one of his assistants, a former NBA head coach, that's really good at that. So the things that work for Memphis in Game 2, Golden State will do everything they can to take that away in Game 3.
It's going to be fascinating to watch. Of course, we're going one-on-one with Freddie Coleman from ESPN Radio, host of the Freddie Coleman Show. So let's move ahead. Let's talk about Steph Curry being named the MVP. What impresses you the most about this young man?
His humility, because it could be very easy knowing that you're now a superstar. He's not a burgeoning star. He's not an up-and-coming star. He is definitely a superstar. He is one of the faces in the NBA right now. Yeah, he's on that line a little bit below LeBron James, Kevin Durant, but he's near that category, and nobody saw that coming. But that humility where he says, you know what, this MVP would not have happened without my parents and without my family and without my teammates. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people gravitate towards that. And I'm not against guys that are arrogant. I'm not against superstars that have that belief they're the biggest, baddest boy out there in that jungle. That has never bothered me. But if you're going to have that, then you have to have Kevin Durant last year thanking his mom, calling her his MVP.
Yes.
And Steph Curry this year, how he reached out to so many people to say, thank you for getting me to this level. Those kind of things really resonate well with fans. And I don't think that humility is going to go away. Now, behind that humility is a cold-blooded assassin, Steph Curry. Don't let the pretty
boy. Don't underestimate him, yeah.
Yeah, don't underestimate him because he wants to rip your heart out and throw it away and have you go away from him and take it away from you. So I think those are the kind of dichotomy that I love with a player like that. That humility, thanking everybody for getting him and allowing him to be in this position. But then on the other side, if I'm going to bust 55 on you, mm-hmm. I'm going to bust 55 on you and let you know about it.
Oh, and Steph Curry, I mean, I had a chance to obviously watch his opening statement, listen to his acceptance speech, and the first thing that he said was, I love basketball. And it is just, you know, Freddie, it's hard to believe. I mean, he wasn't even highly recruited out of high school. He just flew under the radar.
Yeah, and one thing about that, he was such a great shooter. I mean, it's in his DNA between his dad,
with Dell,
and,
yeah.
his, and his younger brother, Seth. So you know that being a great shooter, that was going to be his deal. But I think the best thing, to your point, no one saw this coming with Steph Curry being an MVP because we thought he was going to be good, but no one saw this coming from him. No one thought he'd be this kind of great shooter at the point guard level. But the best thing that could have happened to him was his college head coach at Davidson, Bob McKillop, moved him to the point guard position. He said, yeah, I'm going to sacrifice wins, but your NBA career is going to be better because as a 6'2 shooting guard, you're not going to last. As a 6'2 point guard with your shooting ability, you'll be able to play a long time in the NBA. And Bob McKillop, who was one of the underrated coaches in the country, turned out to be exactly right. He learned how to run a basketball team, get the ball to people in the right spots, understanding the pace of the game and changing speeds, when to speed up, when to slow down. You don't learn that if you play the two-guard position in college, and then you have to do that in the NBA. Not too many guys can make that adjustment, like Russell Westbrook. People didn't think he was going to be a great NBA point guard. They moved him to the one, but he had to learn that on the fly. But once he figured that out, look what we've seen from him. Steph Curry kind of had that learning curve in his favor before he got to the NBA, and we've seen that game continue to expand. He's become a better defender. He understands exactly how to run a basketball team and be a leader. That would not have happened if Bob McKillop did not have the foresight, his senior at Davidson, to say, you need to move here and not stay there. You'll be a better NBA player by being at that position.
We are quickly running out of time. Freddie Coleman joining us at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. He is the host of the Freddie Coleman Show right here in our backyard. The Houston Rockets, they defeat the Clippers on Wednesday night. Harden lights it up and has that big fourth quarter. 16 of his 32 points were in the fourth. How do you see the series playing out?
The same way we saw game one and game two, Alyssa.
Crazy.
It's going to be back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy is a great word because you have Blake Griffin in game one with a triple-double, but Austin Rivers gives you 17. Matt Barnes gives you 20. In game two, Dwight Howard, Terrence Smith, and James Harden were not having it. And I think James Harden looked at that and said, you know what, I know I'm going to make plays in the fourth quarter, but I have to continue to be aggressive attacking the basket. He did the same thing in game two that LeBron James did in game two versus Chicago for Cleveland. When you're on the court, if you're James Harden or you're LeBron James, you automatically have to assume that I have to play my game and everybody else is going to feed off of that. The minute that you lay back and wait for other people to get involved and get a groove, that's not helping your basketball team. And LeBron figured that out in game two, and James Harden did the same thing versus the Clippers in game two. He did what Blake Griffin did in game one. Blake Griffin did his thing, made the defense adjust to him, then he kicked it out and trusted that his teammates would knock down shots, and when he had to be aggressive going to the basket, he made plays. We saw the same thing from James Harden working to full effect in game two, helping out the Houston Rockets even this series.
Okay, Freddie Coleman has been with us tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. Enjoy the game, the Rockets, the Clippers, later tonight. Thanks so much, Freddie. Always a pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
You bet. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR. Stay close.